Good evening and welcome, Virginia fans and ACC fans. This is Frank. Hobbo is in studio as usual.
In the house.
And we've got two special guests in the studio tonight. First off, longtime supporter and sponsor and contributor, Dr. Robert S. Call, a.k.a. Bobby Call. And he's gonna talk a little bit tonight about the UVA defense, and we'll get to that in a few moments. And back for about his third or fourth visit, Darren Franta, who actually went up to the game with me on Saturday, and we enjoyed ourselves, except for a few plays.
Except. You know, Darren, we're going to keep bringing him back until he gets it right. You know,
yes.
So that means he's going to have a long tenure here, I can tell you.
Practice makes perfect.
Amen.
All right, between you and Hobbo, eventually we're going to get this thing done right.
That's right, you know.
All right, so... there are several ways to follow the show besides listening to us on Fox Sports 910, and Darren's going to tell you.
Well, that's right. You can reach us in the studio at 345-0910 or streaming live when you're not listening on the radio. We are streaming live on foxsportsrichmond.com and also streaming live on thesaber.com, our great sponsor. Thesaber.com also has all of the Who's Talking Shows archived, so you can go back and check us out there. For future reference, download the free iHeartRadio app and listen on your smartphone. And check us out on Facebook. Just search for Who's Talking.
And if you're not getting our newsletter, contact Frank Maloney and he'll put you on a list. Frank gets that newsletter out every Sunday in advance of the Monday show, which kind of gives you a preview of the show and a breakdown of weekend sports activity in Charlottesville or wherever.
You know what's interesting is we are now up to 2,400 recipients of the newsletter and growing, and we probably will have some contests and some fun quizzes, contests, whatever, and some prizes on the newsletter in the future.
I'm assuming if they want to get a newsletter and they aren't receiving it right now, they can go to the Facebook page, Who's
yes.
Talking, and get messages to us that way.
That would be the easiest thing.
That yes. would be it. Also, before why don't we go ahead and talk about next week's show? Sometimes we get so wrapped up in what we're doing, we forget to properly promote the following week's show.
Well, we're excited to announce that Sean Moore, former UVA star quarterback and a Denver Bronco, actually. Sean will be with us on the air next Monday night. We've invited UVA men's soccer head coach George Galinovich, one of our favorite guests. Boy, he is one intense dude, and I love the way he brings fire and brimstone to the sideline for UVA soccer.
And he also has hardware in his office. That's the way I judge these coaches.
And I tell you what, he's had some big wins lately, beating Notre Dame and North Carolina.
So you're saying he may get more hardware.
They're tracking the right way, that's for sure.
That's right. We'll cover that later in the Olympic Sports Report.
Yes. And all right, let's see. Also, we will have Dr. Gordy Rawls joining us, a longtime contributor from Ortho Virginia and a great sponsor partner. In the coming weeks, interestingly, we've got some awesome guests coming. We've got none other than Dave Glenn of the ACC Sports Journal and the Dave Glenn Show. You talk about a guy that knows what's going on in the ACC.
He's really good, too. I mean, he's succinct with his commentary, but he knows a lot about what's going on.
Almost always spot on. Also, we have former UVA quarterback Mark Verica lined up, and we've got Hobbo's old whipping boy and best buddy, Dan Bonner, also a former groomsman in his wedding.
Yeah, we're going to transition to a few basketball guests here before long in that transition phase when you have both football and basketball going on at the same time. So a lot coming here in the upcoming weeks. But, you know, we go back to Saturday, and, I told you at halftime the story of the game were two kicks and a pick.
Yeah.
You know, two kickoffs that we didn't cover, and then the pick right before halftime. And as you pointed out to me, we were sitting in a press box. You know, why are we trying to force it down the middle in a situation where we're probably at best going to get maybe a long field goal opportunity where you don't have a proven kicker?
Well, you know, I've gotten mad watching games before.
No,
but I was incensed. I was incensed because
my left arm is still hurting where you kept punching me. You know? I mean, what the heck? I'm not calling the plays. Go down there on the sideline or go to the next office over there where the coaches are.
I tell you what, they're lucky I didn't have a microphone to the PA system or something. I would have let the coaches have it. Virginia's offensive coordinator in recent weeks has been brilliant. Robert Anai, he called a great game against Duke. He called an excellent game against Central Michigan. And for most of the first half against the Pitt Panthers, I thought he was brilliant. The pass down the sideline to Olamide Zaccheaus was a very clever, well-executed, and timed play.
And a nice throw. Nice throw and catch. I mean, but the throw was right on.
But they set that guy up with some short passes in the flat there before they went down.
Right. He was open, but the ball was there, too.
The ball was there. But, you know, you're inside of a minute to go in the first half. It's 28-all. And, you know, this is a young team with a lot of players out there that haven't been in situations like this. And particularly the quarterback, Kurt Benkert. To me, I just thought it was a strategic, boneheaded decision to try to throw that ball down the field.
I understand the newspaper article. I guess Bronco made some comment, you want to be aggressive. But I think you have to temper that a little bit with the situation on the field.
And your personnel. This isn't like we have Matt Blunden back there,
right.
And we don't have Sean Moore back there. We have a guy that's really quarterbacking, just five or six games. And so
let me ask you and Bobby a question.
It's about time we get Bobby as a non-football guy.
What happened in the second half offensively? And I realize you're a defensive guy, Bobby, but I mean offensively, it just seemed like we were not able to move the ball. Is that to the credit of Pitt making adjustments at halftime?
Well, I think it was a couple things. A lot of games boil down to the big plays, you could say, and that's what makes a difference. I think in this game, they were bigger and tougher and faster.
And older.
And more experienced. Yeah, you look at the second half, they wore ourselves out.
Yeah.
Do you see the linemen? Those guys were huge. And their special, their skilled players were just so fast. And I think they wore us down.
I
think we got down – too, the interference calls kind of took some of the aggression out of the D-backs. And I think we just look like we got worn out.
Do I need to explain to you guys again that some of the world's best athletes come from Western Pennsylvania?
You look at all the injuries those guys had. They look like all those guys that went down looked like they were concussions. And I don't know if they were hitting us or them or each other, but these guys were hard hitters.
Oh, and before I forget, we need to remind folks that we have Chris Horn joining us later in the show to talk about UVA recruiting and also his new role with the Sabre. He has a more pronounced role. He's an associate editor, and he's a contributing writer for the Sabre, and he is no longer working for Tech Sideline Recruiting anymore. So,
Our friend Jody Smith will be on as well.
I don't know
if we've mentioned him, but a good friend of the program and also a sponsor and supporter with the injury report.
Absolutely. So looking at some other things, a couple thoughts about the football team Saturday. It was a great opportunity. 40,000 fans there. Virginia had won two games in a row coming in, and they played with confidence up till the play that was the pick. And another reason why the psyche of this team, Bobby, to me, has got to be one of for the coaches. Let's nurture this thing along. Let's use some good judgment. Would you agree or disagree with that thought?
Yeah, I think so. It's a young team, and it's easier to play when you're ahead, and then when you get down, there's a little pressure. And then when bad things happen, it's easier to get down. And a veteran squad's can take that in stride. But
and what about the special teams? Clearly, some breakdowns. What was going on there?
Man, I think that was just outright speed on Pitt's skilled players. Those guys are so fast. All that they had to do was put a body in front of one of our tacklers, and the skill position player was through and gone.
By the way, the kickoff return for a touchdown was by Quadri Henderson, number 10. He is 5'8", 190. Guess who is almost identical in size and is identical speed? Olamide Zaccheaus. However, Zaccheaus has not been back returning kickoffs, which I think is interesting.
Our coverage looked actually decent. The spacing between the players coming down the field, they just went by them so quickly.
You know, I'm always fascinated by strategy. And I'm asking the questions here, I guess. But you know, since they changed the kickoff in the end zone to go to the 25-yard line, it occurs to me that there's some strategy options there. Do you want to go ahead and kick it in the end zone and just give it to them on the 25? Do you want to squib it? Do you want to try to elevate the kickoff to give your coverage team time to get down there and maybe tackle the guy at the 15, 20-yard line and get field position? What are your thoughts about that?
I was surprised they kept kicking deep. I thought the second kick to the other player, yeah, let's try that. But after that, after a one to the end zone and the other two about 80 yards, I'd squib it. And I don't think he could get it to the end zone, whether it was the wind or whatever.
What you're saying is it's not necessarily breakdowns, it's just the quality of their players and the speed of their players.
I think that had a lot to do with it, you bet.
Well, I think Virginia's got plenty of speed relatively, so I thought that the injuries that we've had of late, and Virginia's got about 7 or 8 guys that are out for the season, including 2 cornerbacks. Usually the backup cornerbacks are on these teams because of their speed getting down the field and also their recovery speed to go back the other way. Now, Darius Lattimore is one, and I've got to do some research to get the name of the other player. But
You got to learn how to play
Tim Harris from Richmond, Verona.
Right. You got to learn how to play off a block, too.
Yes.
You know, there's some skill coming down the field on that kickoff coverage team as well as the punt team. You just can't fly down without an ability to break down and make the tackle.
And I think we're speaking with Bobby Call here at Who's Talking. I think Bobby just made a very astute observation. And the advantage Pat Narduzzi has as the coach at Pitt, there were 2 factors involved. First of all, if he had 18 starters coming back, so that's essentially 9 on each side of the ball, okay? That's a big deal. Number 2, if you have that many starters back, that means that there's some experienced subs spread out through your lineup as well. And so the timing on those kick returns, right, and their confidence in those guys is significant. And I'm a little surprised Virginia didn't kick some more squibs, particularly after that guy took the ball to the house. You know, when somebody goes 93 yards or 94 yards, whatever they ultimately credited him with, I would have said, whoa, coach, let's think about this kick. And by the way, Dylan Sims, Virginia's kickoff specialist, has a groin injury. And so his ball is not carrying like it did last year.
Definitely not. And that's why you just can't go high and deep. That's what the return team wants, because that lets them set up their blockers and for the runner to take it back to the house.
Well, you know, and it just seems to me, as a non-football guy, there's so much emphasis on offense and defense, and sometimes special teams, in my opinion, does not get the attention it might deserve. Because so many games, I mean, we were talking before going on air, the NC State game where the guy missed a very makeable kick. So NC State doesn't pull the upset at Clemson. So there's an awful lot of football games that come down to special teams, either a kickoff or a made field goal or whatever the case might be.
Well, you know, it begs that question that, hey, you got to put good athletes on your coverage team on all special teams, because that's an offensive play for you or the other team. So it's important to...
Well, this is a word that Frank never likes to hear on the show, the name of Frank Beamer. But I think it helped at Tech, the fact that he coached the special teams, because it elevated the importance of the special team to have the head coach involved with
that. That's right, Beamer ball. And then that gives the team some... It just gives them an advantage, a little momentum that they think every time, every game, they're going to make a play on special teams.
Kelly Popenga is the special teams coach for Virginia now, and I have no doubt he watched the film over and over Saturday night and Sunday, and there will be changes, mark my words. If nothing else, we've seen the coaches make a lot of adjustments this year. I want to point out a couple things. First off, there were some Virginia players that had excellent first half. I thought Donnie Dowling had a terrific first half. He caught some tough balls in space. He got drilled. He held on, got the first downs. Also thought one of the other receivers, Darren, helped me, had a pretty good half. Oh, Keon Johnson made a couple of nice plays. I thought Ben Kurt and the offensive coordinator tried too many deep streak passes during the game, and those were wasted plays. This team is not good enough to try it 10 times.
Especially in the second half. They were going back and back to that. We basically burned it down when there was no completion.
Olamide Zaccheaus made a beautiful play down the sideline that we already talked about. And Warren Kraft made some plays in the game. And he was a little-known recruit, number 23. He had a decent little game. But you know who won the LeClaire Ryan play of the game was with about 3 minutes to go in the first quarter. Taquan Smoke Mizell swept around the right end for a touchdown, about a 44-yard play, where he broke two tackles, one near the line of scrimmage and then one at about maybe the 8-yard line to get into the end zone. At that point in the game, that made it 14-7, and that I think that lifted the spirit of everybody on the Virginia sideline. You know, a quarterback's best friend is the running game. And he had Albert Reed, scored a couple of touchdowns. The problem is it stopped working after half. And
there was a point during the first half that if you'd taken a bathroom break at the wrong time, you'd have missed about three touchdowns.
That's right.
Well, you know, Taquan, he had a great game, I thought. Ran tough. He ran fast. I really liked what I saw with him. And then they had to go back to the passing game at the end, you know, the second half. And it just didn't work.
Well, they're not utilizing him enough in space. They throw him the ball in the flat and let him juke somebody.
Yeah, because they got speed, yeah.
Right. All right, we've got to head to break. We come back on the other side. We hope to have Dr. Jody Smith. If not, we will dig into some more football and then have Dr. Smith later in the show. We do have Chris Horn coming on after the second break during the show. Stay with us. This is Who's Talking.